Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, and I welcome you to our exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease, heart failure, organ donation, and everything related to those things in today's ever-changing world. I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest today an inspiring contributor to our global organ donor advocacy community, retired Detective Michael Lalo. Michael started his police career in July of 1999. Soon after graduating from the police academy, Michael was recruited to work as an instructor and then with the Academy Research and Development Unit. In 2006, Detective Lalo went to work for the Real-Time Crime Center, located at One Police Plaza in New York City. From there, in 2008, Detective Lalo began his work with the Intelligence Bureau, initially in the Sensitive Data Unit, and then to the Threat Assessment and Protection Unit, from where he retired on August 28, 2020. Michael was a versatile law enforcement professional, a second-grade detective with over 20 years of experience in leadership. Detective Lalo was successful in initializing change with proven results, cultivating law enforcement relationships and partnering with government and private organizations to successfully coordinate large-scale events such as the United Nations General Assembly, Fleet Week, New Year's Eve Times Square celebration, parades, and other operations. But his accomplishments only begin there. Now we have come to know Michael as an altruistic living kidney donor, which we will talk about today. And as a result, he's been the recipient of the Retired Detectives Association of New York's Artie Award. And Michael was recognized at the 2019 State of the City Address by the Honorable Bill de Blasio, Mayor of the City of New York. Michael has received the NYPD Columbia Association's Patrolman Philip Cardillo Humanitarian Award, and he is a living kidney donor mentor, a board member of the Brotherhood of the Fallen, and a board member of the New York chapter of the National Kidney Donor Organization. And Michael is currently the president of the National Kidney Donor Organization based in Connecticut. Michael has been married to his wife, Megan, for 15 years, and they share three children, Jack, Harper, and Claire. And Michael notes that both his wife and children were extremely supportive of his decision to donate his own kidney, and without such support, as well as the support of his entire NYPD family, this would not have been possible. Wow, Michael, welcome to The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter.
Gary, I am going to carry you around so you could introduce me every time I walk into a room. Holy mackerel, that was phenomenal.
There you go. And I'm just a dentist. How about that?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This is going to be great. I so look forward to having you. And so we are here now. But I'll roll it back to the beginning of this journey. And unfortunately, I'll need to leave out your childhood because we have so much to cover today. But first of all, and a bit selfishly, and this may sound surprising to you, but you should know that I am a super fan of Chris Voss and have been a student of persuasion and influence for the past 30 years. So you could please start off by sharing a little of what it was like working in the Intelligence Bureau, initially in the Sensitive Data Unit, and then to the Threat Assessment and Protection Unit. I am so interested in that.
Sure, absolutely. So I started out my career, like you said, in the Sensitive Data Unit, and kind of what that unit does is house all of the real identities of any confidential informants that we have throughout the city of New York. And more importantly, we also use a system that's a federal system called Safety Net. And what that does is if someone from the NYPD is looking at a particular address or a car or a phone number, you're supposed to check in the Safety Net system, and it should show you if someone from Nassau County PD is doing an investigation, or Suffolk County PD, or MTA police. And what it's trying to do is to stop police departments potentially maybe doing a warrant on the same location on the same day. So it's really like for officer safety. So only one entity should be really doing an investigation on any one particular person or location. So I did that for a little while. And then in the beginning, when you're in Intel, they send you out to details within the Intelligence Bureau. And I got to work with the amazing people over in the Threat Assessment Protection Unit on a part-time kind of basis, you know, once or twice a month or something like that when a dignitary would come in. They had an opening in the unit, and I received a phone call saying, hey, you know, we liked you. You look presentable. You're young. You know, would you want to come work for this unit? There's no way I could turn that down. Yeah. It's a highly coveted spot. When I got there, it was a sergeant and three detectives. I was a police officer at the time, two detectives and myself. That was the unit. And what we did was, my particular portion of the threat assessment protection unit was dignitary protection. So we coordinated, like you said, all the large scale events, all the visiting dignitaries for the city. So I got, you know, the pleasure of, you know, walking around with, you know, Secret Service, State Department, Capitol Police, while they're walking presidents, kings and queens and prime ministers, you know, through the city, going to Broadway shows and, you know, events at New Year's and, you know, walking in the Thanksgiving Day parade. So all these cool, you know, things that most people probably wouldn't get to experience. You know, we got to see this other side of it. And it was truly amazing. It was arguably one of the best times of my career.
Oh my, you know, and it brings up so many points about living through the pandemic, for example, now where we can't get out and do so many of those things that we just love to do. That's a big part of our lives. And hopefully we'll be able to get to do those things again real soon. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. So let me see if I have followed your story correctly. In April of 2018, you saw an NYPD intranet posting about police officer Tommy Alexander from the NYPD Harbor Unit. And Tommy was in need of a kidney. And at that time, you inquired to donate to Tommy, but your attempts were actually unsuccessful.
Correct.
A few months later, in September of 2018, you saw a New York Post story about a man named Mark Wiener, who had a billboard in Times Square that was donated in order to help with the search for the kidney that he desperately needed. And you contacted Mark's Transplant Center, and this began your journey to donate a kidney. So why don't I let you continue from there?
Sure. So that is absolutely accurate. And while I was waiting for the results from my testing for Mark Wiener, I started doing research on living kidney donation. I didn't know anyone who ever donated. I didn't know anyone that was on dialysis. And to be quite frank, I don't even know if I knew what kidneys did. I know I had them, but I didn't know how important they were. And when I was doing my research, I realized that you could give your kidney away to a stranger. You know, I thought it had to be a loved one, you know, your parents or your sibling. And I looked at the risk versus reward and the outcome it would be for this person and how it would change their life. And when you put it all together, the risk to myself was just really small, and how it could change someone's life was so great. So I'm like, wow, that'd be awesome. And then I got the phone call from Weill Cornell that said I wasn't a match for Mark. At the time he was looking for a match. And I was like, oh man. I'm like, well, I said, I learned about this non-directed donor thing. You know, I said, is that something I could do at the hospital? And they were like, yeah, of course. You know, let me put you in touch with someone. And they put me in touch with my transplant coordinator, Marion. And, you know, it took the process from there. And I ended up ultimately donating my kidney to a stranger, a woman who was, all I was told is she was 59 years old. She had a child. Her husband was a veteran, a Marine veteran, and he was going to donate his kidney so she would be able to receive mine.
Yeah. So let me just go roll it back a little bit.
Sure.
Can you just try to make it clear to me and to our listeners, what is a kidney chain? How exactly does that work?
Sure. So I'll use my example, or who I now know, my recipient. Her name is Ruth, and her husband's name is Paul. So Ruth was in need of a kidney. Paul wanted to donate to his wife, Ruth, but Paul was not a match. So now we have this amazing organization in the United States called the National Kidney Registry. And what it takes to get into this registry is a partnership. A person in need of a kidney has to have someone willing to donate for them. So the two of them go into the National Kidney Registry database, and there's a couple of ways. There could be someone like myself that comes forward, altruistic or non-directed, that starts the chain, or there is a paired exchange where there's another pair of people that are in this pool, and so Paul is a match for that person's donor, and that person is a match for Ruth. So in my case, you know, I started a chain. And the way that works is Paul donated his kidney to a stranger.
No.
And then my kidney went to Ruth. I think the chain for us ended at two, but sometimes these chain could be, you know, three, four, you know, four people at least.
Yeah.
It's an amazing way now, and a quicker way for someone who is in need of a kidney to get a kidney. because the old school, I call it old school, looking for a match is just not really the way to go about doing it. If you're looking to try and get a kidney for yourself in a short period of time, the average wait time here in New York for deceased organ is 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of understand those things in New York, the way those work. And coming to know many people who are waiting for a kidney or trying to qualify to be able to receive a kidney, it is very complex. And a lot of those questions they have, and their path is uncertain. They're really not sure on how to go about finding a donor. There are also so many friends that I have that have foundations and such that are trying to help people connect yes. with, get off dialysis, and even before dialysis, get a donation of a kidney. So this is something that is complex. Thank you for enlightening us on the kidney chain, because I think that's important for people to understand.
Right.
So you were fortunate to get to meet your recipient, Ruth, and her husband, Paul, at a Mets game, Ruth's favorite baseball team, in July of 2019. Right. Now, my Yankee family will forgive you, of course, given your incredible generosity and kindness, but you remain close and even have spent Thanksgiving together. Please share with me more about that relationship.
Sure. So, you know, when you are donating your kidney to a stranger, they don't really give you any information about the donor, about the recipient. And it's all up to the recipient to agree or want to contact you. So you could, my transplant coordinator told me, like, if you want, you could write a little card or, you know, send a note. I said, oh, well, what do? You know, you mail it and then to her center. Oh, she goes, oh, no, I'm just going to pack it with the kidney. So they put the kidney in the cooler and they stuck my card on top, basically, and shipped it off to Walter Reed. And, you know, Ruth received the card, and, you know, I didn't hear from her, obviously, right away. You know, there's a healing process that, you know, recipients go through. But I got so into this advocacy, I was never on any social media because of my past career, you know, being in law enforcement. I just didn't want to be on social media for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, I understand that.
And then, you know, I joined this organization that I have to be fortunate enough to be president of now. And my kidney mentor, my kidney guy, Ned, said, listen, if you want to, like, help people, you got to get a footprint on social media. So they created a Facebook account for me because I didn't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
And in January, so I donated in December. And in January, I got a friend request from someone. It didn't say anything. It just was like, so-and-so, you know, Ruth friended you. I said, oh, well, I don't know what this is. So I click on her profile and I scroll through and I see she has a newspaper article from the New York Post that talks about me. And she goes, to my second hero, Detective Michael Lalo, who donated his kidney to me, my first hero being my husband. I told my wife, I said, I think this is my recipient. Wow. So she's like, well, what are you going to do? I said, I guess I'll respond back to her. So, you know, I told the story a few times, but I sent a very short text. I went, hey, I think you have my left kidney. And I hit send. And she sent back this, you know, wonderful, you know, text message. And, you know, I just want to keep, you know, like, what you're doing now is tremendous, Gary. You know, and I have to thank you for taking the time to do this podcast, because it's all about creating awareness. That's and right. I think people just don't know that they can do it. And when she told me that she was a Mets fan, I said, oh, you know what? Let me just write to the Mets and I'll see if they'll have us, like, meet there, you know, and we could turn it into like an advocacy, you know, event. And that's exactly what happened. And we met there for the first time. I got to meet her husband, Paul, and my wife was there. You know, it was absolutely emotional. And it was kind of like I said, I have the Cinderella story of kidney donation. I had a phenomenal donation process. I got to meet my recipient and her family. We're both doing, you know, very, very healthy. She ended up in turn inviting my family, my kids and I, to her house in Pennsylvania for Thanksgiving. I got to meet her mother and her brother and her sister. And it was just, it's everything I would have hoped for it to be and more, you know. You go in with no expectations, because what they tell you is you may never hear from your recipient. And, you know, my wife said to me, you know, you're a people person. Like, are you going to be okay with that? You know, not hearing from them. And I said, yeah, you know, because what I put in the card, one of the lines was, I said, listen, this is a gift to you.
Yeah.
And once I give it to you, it's your gift.
Yeah.
So I don't expect anything in return. I don't expect a thank you. I don't expect a card back. I just wanted you to know where it was coming from. And I hope it does, you know, good for you, like it's done for me. And as long as you go into the process with that kind of frame of mind, then you won't be disappointed. Because, you know, I tell donors, you know, you may never hear from your recipient. They go, well, why? why wouldn't they want to thank me? And you know what people say, or the recipients who receive the kidney say? Time and time again, you hear the same answer. And the answer, Gary, is this. They don't think thank you is enough. So they're afraid of contacting the donor and not living up to these expectations they think the donor has. So they'd rather not say anything.
It's so interesting. But you know what I think I'm finding in this second life that I have after being a dentist for 36 years, where I know that I helped a lot of people and I felt good about that. But even now, coming to a new level of giving back, finding meaningfulness in life by helping others, or in my case, I make messages clear. That's my strength. I can do that. In your case, you gave a kidney to another person. Right. And I think that we find happiness as people most easily by finding meaningfulness in our lives by helping other people. And I think it's as simple as that. I think that's what we all
makes you feel good, right?
Absolutely. And that's how we feel. That's what makes us the most happy.
Right.
It's funny. I was laughing before because you said you couldn't be on social media, Noah. Certainly, at least back in the day, or at least before a few years ago, police and doctors and things like that, we didn't want to be on social media. We didn't want to, you know, draw attention. Things have changed. A lot of young doctors are certainly have a presence on social media. It's the way we communicate now. And so we cannot be absent from that. However, I think it's important that our messages are empathetic and are giving. And you've done that. And I'm so pleased to hear your story. And thank you so much for sharing it. So in 2018, you had taken a job with Altaris Consulting Group and was assigned as the director of security for the Baldwin School District, which I know well. I grew up in Long Beach and live in Great Neck, New York, except for now in Milwaukee. That's my temporary location right now. But in any case, in June of 2021, you received a call from Ned Brooks, the founder and CEO of NKDO, asking if you would come on as president of the National Kidney Donor Organization. So please share what you're working on, why you are the president of National Kidney Donor Organization now.
Gary, I ask myself that every day since October. Why did they choose me? Because there's tons of great donors that we work with. So since my donation in 2018, I volunteered for the National Kidney Donation Organization. We used to go by under a different name. When Ned started this, he called the organization Donor to Donor. And then we kind of rebranded and changed our focus to what is now the National Kidney Donation Organization. And it's an organization comprised of living donors who the initial idea was to help, you know, mentor other people thinking about going through the process. And we still do that, but it's kind of like morphed and turned into something even bigger and better that we couldn't have even expected. And if I could just take you back for a second, the gentleman, Mark Weiner, who I attempted to donate for back in 2018. 2 years later, I kept in contact with Mark because he was instrumental in me donating my kidney to Ruth, you know? And we said, I want to find you a kidney. I want to find you a donor. We relaunched his campaign and the people that donated his billboard were so gracious and they did it again this past December. So Mark and I stood in Times Square 2 years to almost to the day of my donation in Times Square, billboard, you know, up there again. Just to give you a comparison, when Mark's billboard first went live back in 2018, he got about 1,800 responses, people wanting to donate. It yielded zero results. Mm-hmm. And it was for a variety of reasons. Two things that we, Ned is, I can't, you know, I got to give Ned all the credit because he's the brains behind this whole thing. The two reasons why it failed was one, Mark was looking for a match. And two, all of those people went direct to Weill Cornell. It literally crashed their computer system. They couldn't handle the load. So Ned said, let's do this again. And we had to talk Mark and we had to talk Weill Cornell into letting us, NKDO, receive all of these people who are going to potentially donate for Mark. So 2 years later, we put the billboard back up at Times Square. Mark and I are standing there. It only yielded 189 results, not the 1,800. I was very disappointed, actually. I thought it was going to yield more. But the difference was we set up a system where we had donors standing by waiting to talk to every single person. So all 189 people had someone contact him via email, phone, text, however they preferred. We carried them and held their hand through the whole process right to the very end. 189, 12 people were cleared for the full day of donation. Of the 12, 5 got cleared to donate. And the first person to win the race was Hillary. And she handed Mark a voucher, kind of like what I told you about before. She donated in advance because Mark is not able to receive a kidney yet. He has a couple of minor issues that he has to take care of medically. Once those are done, he can get his kidney. But he has the voucher. The voucher is good forever. So if it takes Mark 6 months or so, no big deal. It takes him a year, no big deal. He'll get that kidney. But the key to the whole thing was the other four people who were cleared to donate are going and moving forward to donate to strangers. Wow. So we had a higher conversion rate of converting people thinking about donating to donating than pretty much any transplant center. Incredible. And the National Kidney Registry took note of this and said, hey, I think this is something that we can replicate. So the National Kidney Donation Organization, NKDO, and the National Kidney Registry entered into a partnership. So everybody that goes into the National Kidney Registry that says, I'm thinking about being a donor, they all get asked a question and say, if the question is, would you like to speak to a living donor? And they call the system Donor Connect. Mm-hmm. It is going to revolutionize the transplant industry. And absolutely. Which is so exciting, which I know not really many people know yet, because it's kind of like you're going to get the scoop on this. We are in talks with 3 transplant centers right now to have this same system turned on at their transplant center. These transplant centers just can't handle the load. The one transplant center we're talking to gets 300 to 400 inquiries a month.
Yeah.
They don't talk to these people until after bloods are drawn and they're further along in the process. But these potential donors have questions like right now. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is by giving them someone to talk to and ask questions to earlier on, we're turning those people into donors, you know, a lot better than just, you know, leaving them out there into the space, right?
Yeah,
so we're, by grabbing on to them and by mentoring them and partnering with them, we bring them through the whole process. And we're already seeing the conversion rate is better than if someone just randomly, you know, was trying to go through the process alone.
Yeah. And I think people who are on the outside of this whole system have the feeling that it's all done by computer and it's all done in an objective way. And the truth of the matter is, so much of this is organic. So much of this is started on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's decisions made by human beings. The reason that I have a chance for a heart is because of an extraordinary, as you suggested, a revolutionary way for heart transplant that is going to be started here in this country. I just happen to be lucky enough to have met Dr. David Joyce. And if you want to hear a little bit more about what he does, it's season 2, episode 9 that I have that conversation with him and was lucky enough to meet him. But it's the same sort of thing where we're in the right now in the center of revolutionary ways of making these things easier for kidney donors, heart transplant recipients, kidney recipients, even lung recipients to have these things come to fruition, because it's human beings that we're talking about and people waiting.
You're exactly right. I talk to, it pains me and it hurts me. The one thing that about this new position is I'm talking to people who are in need of a kidney on almost a daily basis. And, you know, a gentleman I spoke to last week, 6 years he's been on dialysis. 6 years he's been at a transplant center. The first time he's ever heard of the National Kidney Registry and the voucher program and that you don't need to find someone's a match is when he spoke to me. I have no medical training whatsoever. You know, I'm just a kid from Queens that was a NYPD detective that donated his kidney in 2018. And how is this the first time he's ever heard of helping himself? You know, so I think the transplant centers are doing a phenomenal job. There are just so many patients, and the aspect that they can't provide because they don't have the personnel, they don't have the funds, is this customer service component that we think the National Kidney Donation Organization can help.
Yeah, but it's people like you. I know maybe you know my friend Joe Bueno, because he runs a foundation called Transplant Warriors 24/7. And I know that he personally helps people rehabilitate people on dialysis. He gets them, you know, on the right diet. He actually goes to their home and helps them cook a proper renal diet and then gets them up and exercising with him. Those are his warriors. to qualify for kidney donorship where they did not have hope of being able to do that. And so I would ask you, as far as you're concerned, what's the best process for someone to find a living kidney donor, as far as you're concerned now?
Sure. So if you're in need of a kidney, which these are people I speak to, the number one thing, if you were my family member, first thing I would say is, what transplant center are you listed with? They'll give me the name. You could go on the National Kidney Registry's website. If it's not one of those 97, I encourage people to transfer over to a hospital that's affiliated with the National Kidney Registry. Why would someone go do that? That's been their transplant center for the last 6 or 7 years. Because by being part of one of these 97 centers, you now open up the pool of potential donors.
Right.
You know, you no longer are looking for the match. You're just looking for someone in the country. It doesn't matter where they are to donate on your behalf. So that's number one. Number two, if you're looking for a kidney, you know, people want to be private. They don't want people to know about their you know, personal illnesses. That's not going to save your life. So, right. You know, we're very candid, you know, when we speak with them and say, hey, listen, you know, you have to want to help you if you want other people to help you. So right. What does that mean? You got to get a website. You got to get on Facebook. And one of the people that actually is a kidney recipient, Ellis Mirsky, who works with us, he's also our in-house counsel at NKDO. He has a great line, right? And he says, don't ask people for a kidney. Just ask them to share your story. And I think that's great. And that's what we want. We want, and I do that every time I share someone's story. I don't say, hey, you know, look to donate to you know, John Doe. I go, no, hey, do me a favor. Can you share John's story? Can you share John's story? Because what's going to happen is, just like it happened with me, and just like it happens with all these other friends of mine who are donors, some Facebook post, some billboard, some news article, it's going to trigger something in someone, and that person's going to, they did it. Maybe I could do it. Let me look into this, you know, this kidney donation thing. And that's the key. So it's getting into a site that's part of the National Kidney Registry and getting a presence on the social media with the website and Facebook.
Right. And thank you for that. And I think you're right. Part of the reason that I do this is I do agree with you. I think that stories are what is actually resonates with people and motivates people to do the kind things that they do. I think they see these stories and want to be part of that. So thank you for sharing that. It's so many of the things that you've said today is so true. So as we close, what do you see as some of the myths about being a living kidney donor? Just to clear up some confusion.
The one that makes me laugh the most is I get asked this, probably number one, you know, I can't drink anymore after I donate my kidney. And I said, no, liquor gets funneled through the liver. Oh, okay, good. So for some reason, everybody thinks alcohol gets funneled through your kidneys, which it does not. So you can, of course, whoever's listening, you can still drink responsibly after your kidney donation. One of the other things is, you know, well, I live an active lifestyle. I'm a CrossFit person. I run marathons. You know, I can't do that anymore because I'm down a kidney. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have amazing athletes in the National Kidney Donation Organization. There's another organization called, Kidney Donor Athletes that's just dedicated to people who are much, much more physically fit than I am and, you know, go out there and run their marathons and Ironman and they climb summit these mountains. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm a golfer, so, you know, I was a tennis player as a kid, baseball player, but I'm a golfer now. I'm certainly not climbing mountains.
you could still golf. Yeah, absolutely.
I golf with batteries.
I want to get back into batteries. It.
Oh, yeah, we'll play together. Don't worry. We'll get home. When I get home, we'll play together, but for sure.
One of the other concerns that people have, two major concerns is, what if one of my family or friends needs a kidney? And I gave mine away. And again, the National Kidney Registry has an unbelievable program called the Family Voucher Program. Mm-hmm. So if you donate your kidney to a stranger, okay, not a standard voucher, a stranger, you donate your kidney to a stranger like I did, this wasn't around when I donated, you're allowed to name 5 people to receive a voucher.
Wow.
And if one of those people ends up cashing in the voucher because they're in need of a kidney, then the other 4 vouchers are null and void because you gave one kidney, so they're giving you kind of one in return. But for me, or someone who has like kids and a spouse, you could give them peace of mind. And the likelihood that your children, if you have children, are going to have a kidney issue is very unlikely, because I went through insane amounts of testing, probably the best medical exam I could ever get in my entire life. And I don't have any history. My wife doesn't have history. My parents don't have history. So the likelihood of my children, you know, needing a kidney is, right, is really, really remote. And then the other thing is, well, my job's not going to pay me. So how do I, you know, how am I going to do it? I can't afford to take off of work for 3 weeks. Well, the National Kidney Registry will, you're working, will up to $1,500 per week for 6 weeks, will pay your salary. You know, if you don't have, you know, the time off, vacation time or sick time. I was fortunate with the NYPD. We have an unbelievable sick policy. Yeah. And I was able to, you know, take part in that for my donation. You know, I do understand that some organizations are not at that point with their vacation policy. But that's just another way to have people help. People want to help. You know, I think most people, Gary, I think most people are good. The majority of the people in the United States, and the world, in fact, are good people that want to help people. I just don't think people know that they can do it.
Right. I agree with you. And that's, again, thank you for sharing this on this podcast. I want to, by the way, just send a shout out to Lisa Emmett for introducing me to you.
Absolutely.
She's the executive director there. She was kind enough to introduce me to you and steer me to NKDO. And I believe that our podcast will change the lives of people that are listening. I know it will. And people that I've come to meet here in Milwaukee in my stay here while I wait for my heart transplant. This has been an extreme honor. I want to put all of the contact information in the podcast notes. Do you want to share with listeners how, if there's any websites to go to or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I do that, I just want to ditto what you said about Lisa. Lisa is a phenomenal human being and has so much passion, and we are so privileged to have her on as the executive director. Yeah. But very simple. If anyone is looking to think about, or they want to learn about being a living kidney donor, or even if you're a recipient in need, you can go to nkdo.org. That's simple, nkdo.org. And all the information is there. We have a phenomenal website. There's an email address there, info@nkdo.org, which we'll get to Lisa, myself, and Ned. We reach out to every single person that contacts us. This is what we do every day. This is our, you know, passion. This is our career. Yeah. And I hope to be with this organization for as long as they have me. It is so rewarding. I went from being an NYPD detective for 21 years and 2 months, and that was an extremely rewarding profession. And I moved right into another one that's, you know, equally, if not, you know, more rewarding.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah. How fortunate we are. That's great. Michael, it's been my great honor to have you as a guest on The Heart of the Matter. On behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much for all that you've done in your local community in New York and everyone else across the country. And in the global kidney and other living organ donor community, there's many different organs that people are waiting for. And this is just one of them, the kidney, but there's heart and liver and lung. And we are trying to help all of those organizations with our messages. But thank you for your extraordinary contributions and accomplishments and an incredible dedication to your work in an effort to extend people's lives. And thank you for sharing this time with me. I hope that we can do this again soon, right after I receive my new heart and we're going to golf in New York and all that stuff.
Absolutely. It's a date.
All right. Thank you so much. That is our podcast for today. Please join me next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit my podcast website at thearchguyspeaks.com. It has all the episodes there. Just type that in on any device and you're in. My speaker website is www.drheart2heart.net. That's the number two. For upcoming podcast information, or if you'd like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all you have to do is search The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter. Until next time, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, The Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.